Welcome back to another epic episode of Wellness Warrior Radio, your number one source for everything health. I'm your hostess, Diane Kayser, functional diagnostic nutritionist, alongside my fellow warrior, Darren McDuffie, where our goal is to bring you truth, whole foods, and nothing but the greatest tips and strategies you can employ in your life to accomplish your optimal warrior lifestyle with a lean body, perfect digestion, and a clear mind. For updates, freebies, and to contact us, head over to our website, wellnesswarriorradio.com, where we also share our free how-to guide to find your perfect diet to achieve your goals with ease. We're getting amazing feedback, so please leave us a review on iTunes as it helps us to grow and helps us help you. Also, hop over to my website, dianekayser.com, to download my free ebook, and Darren's site, imthefatman.com, to download your free DVD, where thousands of warriors just like you are being helped daily by our tips. From there, you could like us on Facebook to really put our expertise into practice. Thanks for supporting one of the fastest growing wellness podcasts in radio, and please enjoy the show, warriors. Hey, Wellness Warriors, welcome to another amazing episode of Wellness Warrior Radio. I am really, really excited for today's show. We're just going to get right into it because this guy is one of my favorites. He is somebody that other people have said to me, they've compared me to and said, "You are kind of like a female future version of Paul Check." And I went, "Oh, okay, cool. Then this is a really big compliment." We have Paul Check on the show today. This is episode number 30, and I saw him about a month ago speak locally here in Orange County. So it was amazing, and today's show is going to be off the hook. It's going to be just a whole big bowl full of truth. So Paul Check, I'm going to introduce him real quick, and we're going to get right into it. Paul Check is an internationally recognized expert in the field of holistic health and corrective high-performance exercise and rehab. For more than 3 decades, that's like 30 years, Paul's unique holistic approach to clinical assessment, intervention, treatment, rehabilitation, and education has changed the lives of countless individuals worldwide. By approaching the body-mind as a whole system of systems, Paul has successfully coached clients toward complete resolution of their health and performance challenges, where traditional approaches have consistently failed. It is his mission to create a world of healthy, happy, functionally successful people. So Paul's the founder of the Check Institute and the PPS Success Mastery Program based out of San Diego, California, as well as a program that I just completed about 3 months ago, a 4-disc set that's called Healing Fungal and Parasite Infections, and that's what we're going to get into today. What's up, Paul? Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Diane. Nice to be here with you. And before we get started, I want to just make sure I don't forget to let everybody know about the discount that we're offering your customers. Are you aware of that one?
Oh, I asked video about that. Go ahead. No, I wasn't.
I think it's a 10% discount.
Sweet.
Is that right, Vidya? 20. Ooh, 20.
Woo! Thanks, Vidya.
Until August the 8th. You
Awesome.
guys have, as long as people use the code WellnessWarrior FP, capital F, capital P for fungal and parasite. So if anyone wants to buy the DVD series on called Healing Fungal and Parasite Infections, the Absolute Essentials, that's listening to this show, if they use the code WellnessWarrior FP, they will get a 20% discount until August the 8th.
That rocks, Paul. Thank you so much for extending that out to the Warriors because this program literally changed my life. And it's the unspoken that I think that more people need to hear about today because what I learned from you is that parasites and fungal infections are just at the root of so many diseases and illnesses today that are getting overlooked by the medical community. So I'll put all that in the show notes so you guys know where to go to, which site to go to purchase this. But it really has changed my life. And I was on my way to a seminar, in fact, a seminar on SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, while I was w listening to your discs in my car on my computer.
That's funny.
I wasn't watching the computer screen, of course, but I was listening. So always looking to learn and amass knowledge from the check. So, Paul, why did you create this program?
Well, I created it because in my clinical practice, I continually ran into people that were having chronic musculoskeletal problems, hormonal problems, neurological problems, cognitive problems, emotional problems, and almost everything you can think of that were not getting resolved after numerous, sometimes years and years of visits to doctors and therapists of all types. Even, unfortunately, many people who had done rounds and rounds of functional medicine testing, parasite kill product protocols, hormonal adjustments. And I've seen people going through that protocol get as many as 6 recurring infections. So I first spent years treating fungal and parasite infections holistically from the perspective of identifying to the best of my ability what parasite they had, what herbs, and took a functional medicine approach. But I found that the challenge was that the behavioral component, the core values that a person lives and the behaviors that are expressive of those core values were ultimately what was behind the choices being made. So what I found over and over again is it did not matter how many tests you did or what supplements you gave or parasite kills you did. For example, if a person continued to eat things that fed parasites, or they continued to stay up late at night, or they continued to do things that, shall we say, put adequate stress on them to elevate cortisol levels chronically and decrease immune function, that it didn't matter. Literally, you could just put parasite protocols on them 24 hours a day and mainline the stuff. And what people don't realize is that these organisms are extremely savvy, and they're very, very old and very, very wise, and they're very adept at changing to meet the demands of any environment, and that includes any kind of medicine you can throw at them. So if a person does not follow the principles I teach in my program, they will spend a lot of money and will go through a lot of pain and a lot of health challenges. And ultimately, all of that boils down into not understanding what actually causes most parasite infections, which is the diet and lifestyle factors that leave a person, shall we say, functionally disabled and therefore susceptible.
And so you talked a lot about, you know, what a parasite was in the program, and I don't want to get too far into it because that's going to be what people are going to be able to hear in the series. So what exactly is a parasite? You know, a lot of people say fungus, candida, and I've seen so many people go straight after candida, and then they do a cleanse box, you know, like a cleanse box from a store that says candida removal, and then they call it quits, and then they don't really change the lifestyle that fueled the candida or the parasite to begin with. So can we talk about what a parasite is and what's wrong with that approach?
Well, first of all, a parasite is any organism that lives off its host. Okay, so, you know, for example, if you've got Cryptosporidium, an amoeba parasite, it's getting its nutrition and everything it needs to live from you. So a fungal infection, any parasite infection, those all represent organisms that essentially are eating at your dinner table, and you must provide the nutrients for them. And the problem is they typically get the nutrition before you do. For example, anytime you've got a small intestine parasite or a stomach parasite, they're going to be feeding off that food before it can even get through the gut wall. So you see, the problem with parasites is that they are not only using your food sources, your nutrient sources, but they're also, they have typically their life cycles are between, you know, a very short period of time, a few days and about 60 days. While they're alive in you, they're constantly urinating and defecating in your body, and they're dying off in much faster life cycles. So in a month, you could have billions of parasites die in your body. Well, billions are being reborn. So you've got all these dead carcasses rotting in the body, and because of the lifestyle factors that get avoided, such as people that don't exercise enough, their detoxification systems are disabled because the musculoskeletal system is a huge pump system. The diaphragm is a huge pump system, the pelvic floor and the abdominal wall, breathing. So people that don't move, as an example, adequately cannot pump the body adequately to support the immune system, because for one, the lymphatic system is part of that system, and pumping is how it is run. It's a passive system that requires active participation. In other words, if you don't move, it doesn't work. And so there's just one simple example, of, you know, how the parasites are not only hosts, but they're really taking advantage of the fact that whatever we do to disable ourselves enables them. They're Mother Nature's cops. Their job, their function in nature is to return any creature back to the soil that is not, shall we say, congruent with the plan of nature. And Mother Nature is very, very, very much a tough lover to the weak. Anybody that's ever studied biology or nature knows, you know, when males of any species go at each other, they go at each other to annihilate the other, to gain control of the women. Therefore, any male that's weak gets selectively eliminated until he can reach the standard. Any animal in nature that does not live according to the principles of nature ceases to exist. Human beings have sort of lost touch with the reality of nature, and now we've got so many sick people that it's normal to be fat, it's normal to be sick, it's normal to be tired, and anybody that's otherwise is assumed to be using drugs or some kind of other stimulants.
So you're saying I shouldn't date guys that have parasites, Paul, because they probably can't reproduce with me?
What I'm saying is that if you want to know the truth, there's no such thing as a guy that doesn't have parasites, and you wouldn't want to date one that did, because he'd probably be very unhealthy.
Yeah, actually, I did break up with a guy one time because of that. He had parasites, and he wasn't willing to do anything about it, and I was like, you want me to have sex with you? And I'm trying to do all this work to get the parasites out? I don't think so.
Yeah, well, there's some real reality to that. But, you know, I'll let you go with your questions, but we can talk about the fact that, you know, there is a very definite functionality to parasites, and there is no such thing as a healthy human being without them. So as you could probably see from studying my program, one of the things I try to emphasize is that the concept of getting rid of parasites is, shall we say, an expression of ignorance as to how biology works and how life works.
Right.
The concept of learning to manage parasites to levels that are symbiotic with your organism is intelligent.
Right. And that's something that floored me when I was listening to the first DVD, is that you'd mentioned that it was estimated that when you were born in 1960, there was only about half of us that had parasite infections. And today it's like 90%. So when people talk about worms, we see worms or parasites or we talk about candida. People falsely assume that candida is something that, you know, women only have it because they get yeast infections, and worms are only for people who have traveled the world. And today it's said that 90% or more are infested with these things. So in other words, they're taking over our bodies. So do you think that without doing any kind of testing that we should pretty much just assume we have one and go through the cleansing protocol?
Well, it's again, that's not my approach. First of all, if you have symptoms of infection, then you should look into assessing whether what parasite you may have, or getting tested, or what I offer in my Healing Fungal and Parasites DVDs. It's called the Absolute Essentials, because I offer the essential first things you've got to do before functional medicine will even work.
Mm.
So the things that I, you know, like the things I showed in there is the use of herbs, garlic, ginger, black walnut, green walnut, things like that anybody can get access to. But getting access to those types of things without putting effort into the awareness of why you got the parasite infection in the first place is no different than taking aspirin for a headache and never asking the question, why do I have a headache all the time? And the real goal is to bring the body into balance so that you can, shall we say, benefit from the parasites that are supposed to be there. And when we get to that point and you want to talk about that, we can. But I think I answered your question there, didn't I?
Yeah, of course you did. Because if so many of us have it, but people falsely assume that it's not for them, then they're basically chasing their tail, and they're chasing symptoms with Band-Aids. And that's what I love so much about your program, is that it talks about how to get to the root of all these issues that are causing the symptoms, that we pretty much every American has these symptoms. And so maybe the other 10% doesn't have them. Maybe we don't even know, because there's all different kinds of pathogens that haven't really even yet been discovered, or we know what they are, like the whole ropeworm concept, but yours are the essentials. And so I see these symptoms so much in my practice, and people just chase and chase and chase, and the medications never work. So I know that's one of the things that you talked about in the program, that that antibiotics and the things that we keep chasing our tails with are some of the very things that could cause and inspire more leaky gut, and maybe even the thyroid issues, and, you know, turning up the temperature of our body, and so things can light up. And that, I found that really interesting. So can you talk more about that too, on what happens inside the body when we're taking so many drugs and why these parasites can run around?
Well, first of all, at large, as a general rule of thumb, medical drugs of all types are stressful to the body. They're very, very pointed biochemical concoctions. Largely, they're developed on computer models. And the problem with the computer models is the computer models assume that everybody's physiology is the same. Everybody's heart is the same. Everybody's liver is the same. You know, there's as much difference between people on the inside as there is between people on the outside, and that is physiological fact. And if you want to learn more about that, look at the book Biochemical Individuality by Roger Williams, and he goes quite well deep into that reality. So, sorry, I forgot exactly what your question was.
Oh, I was just talking about how people are chasing the potential parasite infections or other types of illnesses with things like antibiotics. And
right. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. You got me back on track. That's why we need women in the world. Well, you know, the thing is like I was saying, these drugs are largely stressful to the system. They push some physiological systems very, very hard. Like any medical drug that you take is going to push detoxification pathways very hard, and if somebody's already nutritionally deficient, the body may not have the nutrients on board to run the cytochrome P448 and P450 pathways, which are the two primary enzyme pathways. So what happens is if the body cannot make it through the process of reduction, oxidization, and sulfation, which is necessary to convert fat-soluble chemicals into water-soluble chemicals to excrete them out of the body, then the fat-soluble chemicals get stored either in the liver, where they've been shown to cause sclerosis in the liver, and or they get shuttled into the fat. But the point is that the body, in most cases, is already toxic, which is already an invitation to funguses and parasites, because they're decomposers, so the toxicity that we want out is the food that makes them want in. And the other thing is it's extremely clear in the literature, especially with bacteria, that repeated exposures causes adaptation, and then the very drug becomes a food source to the parasite. So when we keep chasing things with, shall we say, the allopathic this for that approach, we actually put tremendous stress on our bodies, because almost all of these things are symptom oriented, not etiology oriented or behaviorally oriented. And almost all of these symptom chasers are ultimately taking you every day that you're chasing symptoms. And one of the most dangerous thing I see happening is that people do get relief from these various protocols while continuing to live. So let's just go right back to your candida situation. You take somebody with a fungal infection, or a woman who's got a vaginal yeast infection, who's not managing her diet and lifestyle factors like I teach in my program. She will take a product like Candex, she'll have her vaginal yeast infection clear up, and lo and behold, she'll take that as a license to just keep eating donuts and staying up late at night and drinking 3 cups of coffee a day, and all the things that got her in trouble in the first place. Next thing you know, Candex is food for that organism, and she can't figure out why she's having problems again, so she goes back to a doctor or a therapist who gives her something stronger, who then tests her adrenal glands and says, okay, your adrenals are exhausted, you got leaky gut. So then they put her on those protocols, and that works for a little while. And they say, well, as long as I'm taking all these supplements, I feel fine. But if I forget to take them, I feel like crap. Well, that is like saying, as long as I take aspirin, I don't have a headache.
Mm-hmm.
What disappoints me is doctors and therapists of all types continue to play that game years on end without paying attention to the fact that it's a glaring marketing campaign that says, I contribute to disease and make money doing it. Doctors and therapists are supposed to be the guardians of the science of health and well-being and are supposed to exemplify that to their clients. Yet, how many doctors and therapists, if asked to come to work in their underwear, would not even show up for fear of what their patients might see?
That's a funny visual.
Well, it's a truthful visual, and I encourage all my students in my Czech Institute training programs to prepare to be naked, because if you cannot get naked, you will have blind spots through which you will never see the reality of the client sitting right in front of you. So what do you get? You get people that don't want to talk about Paul Cech's approach, because if they do, then the person looking at them has enough knowledge to begin to diagnose them.
Right.
You're not my doctor anymore.
Right, right. That's something that I thought was really fun about you when we went to your lecture too. You're like, can we just get naked and dance in the rain? I'm like, yes, because I agree with that. I don't like to hide behind things. It's too much work to lie over and over just to not know what you're talking about in the name of money and greed. So I was going to ask you too, Paul, about, you know, I'm a farm chick too. I think, and a lot of my friends are farmers or they're ranchers, and that's my background also. So I think it's really important to have the exposure to these parasites, just like you talk about, not being too clean, you know, using these antimicrobial soaps and things like that. So, you know, on the topic of pets and sleeping with your pets and living in a ranch and being too clean and the skin being too clean, what would you say about all of that?
Well, it's extremely dangerous. All of these antimicrobial, antibacterial soaps are all products of the medical establishment, the drug establishment, and they're all based on a false premise. And the false premise is that germs are the bad guys. Everything's because of something bad. Everything's the germ, the bug, the virus. That's very, very dangerous. So what happens is people start, you know, using sprays in their house, using bug killers, using de-scenters, washing their hands and their bodies with antimicrobial soap, which is ignorant of the fact that the body, the human body, is a living, walking, breathing, eating, sleeping, thinking, love-making garden. And just like a garden, if you continue to spray that garden with things like Roundup and other chemicals, it will destroy the microorganism population in the soil, which means that that soil becomes, shall we say, much more susceptible to the growth of weeds and much more susceptible to parasite infections and problems because it's out of balance. Current research, and I quoted this in my program, shows that of the 100 trillion cells that make up a human body, 90% of them are classified as parasites that have some form of a symbiotic relationship with us. Only about 10% of us is actually our own cells. So it's scientific fact that we're a living garden. So when people start wiping out the barrier, that you get what's called a barrier disorder. So if the skin does not have adequate friendly bacteria, which is natural for each person's body, which is part of what gives us our natural smell, by the way, you know how each person has a very unique smell. I mean, today you don't smell it because they're drowning in perfumes, but if you go around native people, I used to be the trainer of the Army boxing team, so I had athletes from all over the world that were, you know, black men, Puerto Rican men, and, you know, these guys didn't have a chance to really put on too many colognes. We trained too many hours a day, and if they did, it wasn't when I was around them, but you got to smell their natural smells. And I've been around people from all walks of life, and everyone has a unique smell. And you can smell a distinct smell when a body's got a healthy organism population. I can't really define it, but it's the smell of a healthy person, just like a dog has a healthy smell or a cow has a healthy smell. But we're so far away from our biological intelligence, we don't recognize these things. The key point being, though, is we all have our own population, our own garden of creatures that live with us, in us, and are supported by us, and they support us. And a classic example of a symbiotic relationship with a parasite is the mitochondria in every single cell of your body that produces adenosine triphosphate, without which you would die immediately because it's the primary chemical of metabolism and energy production.
Yet the mitochondria are scientifically proven to be parasitic organisms that developed a symbiotic relationship with our cells potentially billions of years ago, or however long ago you want to go back. But there's a classic example. And so what do you get? You take antibiotics, which kill the mitochondria. And that's a well-established scientific fact. So you see people, for example, after rounds of antibiotics, and antibacterial soaps are antibiotic soaps. So what you see is that these people continue to go through these rounds and rounds of antibiotics, rounds and rounds of microbial soaps, and their barrier defense gets weaker and weaker because the symbiotic population, which is there to protect and serve them, becomes disabled. And if you break down the barrier, then it's like leaving the windows open in your house and going away for a vacation. Well, you got no right to be upset when you come home and your house is gutted. And the other thing is, as you know, they keep adapting to all these soaps, creams, and all this stuff. So it's really a very, very dangerous idea. It's highly profitable because they spent billions of dollars to program people to think this way. But this whole concept, for example, is what led to the pasteurization of milk, thinking that the bacteria was the bad guy. So now what do we got? We got a bunch of sick people that won't drink real milk, and people have been convinced that you can get sick drinking raw milk. Well, the same people that make the soaps promote those kinds of ideas, but I would love to see all of them get undressed so we can see what their bodies look like, what their lives look like, and what their vital signs look like. And I bet you most of them, if they're males, are having problems maintaining an erection or probably using drugs for that. And most of the women probably have lost their sex drive, so they got nothing else to do but sell poison to excite themselves.
And jock itch and yeast infections and things that prevent them from having a sex drive too.
Well, a long, long list. You know, yeah. All of this stuff, all of these problems come right back to etiology.
Yep, exactly, the root. Now, Paul, you also mentioned something that really, really hit me when in the CDs and the DVDs, and that was that where are these parasites and the bad ones that have overgrown, where they like to grow are places in our organs, like the sphincters, and they like to lay their eggs there. And you mentioned progesterone. I think it was progesterone is one of them for like the gallbladder and the liver sphincters, and that's where they like to lay their eggs. And so I thought about women and birth control. Mm-hmm. I used to be on Depo-Provera for 7 years, and I didn't have a period. And yeah. I've had massive parasite infections. And the stuff yeah. that's come out of me, I don't wish on anyone. So can we talk about that, the danger of birth control for women?
Well, that's always a danger. And what makes me sad is that here's another issue of medical, shall we say, profitability and stupidity. I've read the research by Ellen Grant. Her book's called The Bitter Pill. And she was the doctor put in charge by the National Institute of Health in England for investigating the viability and the safety of birth control pills. And that quite comprehensive book makes it exotically clear that it's extremely dangerous stuff, causes cancer, causes all sorts of disease, causes severe hormonal imbalances, etc., etc. And her report clearly suggested that it should not be done, yet they did it anyhow. Yet, so what do we have? We have a whole world now full of women who have foregone the essential function of a woman understanding how a woman's body works. Any woman should know how to read mucus secretions from her own vagina, which will change at different stages in her menstrual cycle. Every woman should know how to measure her temperature, which is directly related to ovulatory cycles. And research shows that these natural methods, I think if you look at the book The Pill by Jane Bennett, I can't remember the second author, it's called The Pill and Bennett, Jane Bennett's one of the authors. She has an excellent book that shows women how to do several different types of natural birth control and shows scientific research showing that in most cases, natural birth control methods are as or more successful than the pill based on scientific research. So just like parasites come from ignorance of how to live and how to stay in harmony with nature, taking the pill takes women out of harmony and out of responsibility for the management of their own life-giving ability, their own menstrual cycle, and the many other things that are completely disrupted. And it leads to all sorts of hormonal imbalances, emotional imbalances. It's significantly increases the risk of cancer and a long, long list of other problems.
Wow. Yeah, that hit home for me. The day that I heard that, I thought, well, I know I've definitely had some infestation. And, you know, speaking of cycles, because I'm so big on natural birth control, and I see over and over and over that the women I'm working with, and this is, I can't say this as a doctor because I'm not, but I suggest to try getting off of it because all the symptoms are still holding on with that still left in their system. And they become much more of an activist in their own life when they have to track these things and regulate their cycles and just become more in tune with their body. And speaking of being in tune with nature, Paul, there's one of the things that I keep hearing over and over again that people want to know about, and that is that the full moon cycle with regard to parasite infections.
Yeah.
So can you speak a little bit on that?
Well, the parasites in general have the opposite day-night cycle that we do. Our full moon is their high noon. So just as we're most active from from morning to afternoon, so our working range of productivity where we get the most work done is from after breakfast till the sun reaches peak heat, where in most tribal cultures you would have had to get out of the sun. So the parasites are flipped over backwards. So when we're supposed to be sound asleep, entering deep restorative sleep, the parasites are all awake and very busy boring holes in organs to bury eggs. And that is very, very problematic because, one, you can have, as I said, billions of these things. You can, the first time I put myself on a protocol for worm parasites, I almost had a cow when I looked in the toilet and saw a toilet bowl literally full, coming right out of the water, of worms that looked like maggots. I mean, I couldn't even fathom that something like that could be in my body. It really tripped me out, and what it did is motivated me to finish the job. So, there's a lot of problems because you have so many of them and they're boring holes in you that it causes significant increases in inflammation in the body, which, as you know, elevates cortisol levels, and cortisol stimulates the reticular activating system, which is what wakes you up. So anybody that's got parasite infections, one of the primary and first symptoms that you have of an infection, not that you have parasites in your body, but of an infection, which means that the parasitic organism is now taking over the regulatory functions of your body. In other words, it's making your kidneys, your liver, your stomach, your heart, your brain do what it wants them to do, which means you're on your way to dying, essentially. The heat of that inflammation and the elevated cortisol excites the brain, which increases metabolism and causes an awakening state, which disrupts sleep severely and leads people to sweating in bed at night. And as that progressively worsens, you start seeing bruxism, which is grinding of the teeth, because all that stress starts to overload the limbic emotional system. And whenever the limbic system is overly excited, it dumps off all the excess neurological energy into the masseter muscles, the temporalis muscles, and the upper trapezius muscles, which is in the, and it has a large influence on the distribution of the fifth cranial nerve, which runs your mouth and jaw muscles primarily. So what you see is all this elevated cortisol causes excess limbic excitation coupled with poor sleep, which leads people to the issues of blood sugar management problems, which are hand in hand with parasite problems, which leads to severe imbalances in the things they eat because they're now being influenced by the chemicals being released by the parasites, which starts a very dangerous snowball rolling down the hill. And all the while, what do they do to compensate? They're getting more and more tired. Their bodies are becoming more and more broken down. They're becoming more and more emotionally unstable.
But to survive and keep being a mother all day or a teacher all day or a doctor or a coach or a bus driver, to get the energy they need, they find that they can't survive unless they're drinking coffee and eating sugar all day. So you see that this is a very dangerous self-sustaining cycle that ultimately leads to a very low quality of life, relationship problems, work problems, mental emotional disorders, sexual disorders. You know, the list just goes on and on.
Yeah, and a lot of those things I was experiencing myself when I didn't know that I even had them. And the more and more I saw, like you, come out of me that I don't wish on anyone, but know that this is part of life, that we have them. It's just a matter of if they've taken over our body. I had all those symptoms. And one of them actually was that I couldn't use my core muscles at all, Paul. I was like, my pelvic floor muscles were off. I've played pro soccer my whole life, and I could not use my deep, deep core muscles. And the more I released these things, the more I was actually able to get into those muscles. So that was one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, since I know you have to get going soon too, is the functionality of our core and the functionality of the muscles and this, you know, desired 6 to 8 pack that everybody wants. When those parasites have control of our organs and cortisol and fat storage, we can't get to that, right? So can we talk about that?
Yeah, the real issue there is that, as I share in my book, How to Eat, Move, and Be Healthy, there's a diagram called the piano spine diagram on page 121 that shows the neurological correlation between the nerves that run the motor system or the musculoskeletal system and the nerves that feed the organs. And what most people are unaware of, even most doctors and therapists, is that all organs and glands borrow their sensory nerve endings from the sympathetic system that controls the musculoskeletal system. So this is why when someone has a heart attack, they don't go to the doctor and say, "Doctor, I have pain in my heart." They say, "I have pain in my left chest and arm," because that's the heart gains its sensory nerve endings as extensions of the same nerve endings that feed the sensory apparatus of the left chest and arm. When a woman has painful menstruation, she often has low back pain and weakness of the legs because the uterus shares a neurological relationship with the muscles of the low back, pelvis, and legs. So anytime you have a parasite infection, you're going to have an irritation of and inflammation in and around the organ. And since most of our organs are encased within our core, any one of those organs that gets irritated triggers off viscerosomatic reflexes that cause significant changes in the regulation of the motor function of the muscles. And remember, the four signs of inflammation are pain, heat, redness, and swelling. The sympathetic system is designed, as you can study in the Abdominal Brain by Byron Robinson, MD, which is an old book, but it's still the best book on the topic. He shows that the sympathetic system preferentially regulates blood flow so that any time an organ is under stress, if it's competing with blood with a muscle, so for example, if you're premenstrual, your uterus is inflamed, it's in a healing cycle. Any exercise you do, such as squatting, lunging, jumping, running, those exercises all compete for blood flow, energy resources, nutrients, oxygen, and waste removal with the uterus. So the uterus will down-regulate the blood supply through the sympathetic system, purposely starving the muscles to shunt the blood that the uterus needs into the uterus to help it heal. And because any organ that's inflamed swells and gets hot, the nervous system will downregulate the tone of the muscles around that organ to allow greater blood supply. Otherwise, imagine if your uterus swelled and your lower abdominals did not relax. So what do you see, for example? All these women look in the mirror as they're approaching their period, and they see their lower abdomen swelling, and so they go do thousands of crunches and sit-ups thinking that that's going to flatten it out without realizing they're just irritating the living hell out of their uterus, and all that forced muscle tone actually strangles the uterus for blood and oxygen, leading to prolongation of symptoms and a worsening of the overall condition. So I've been trying to tell people this for a long, long time, whether it be professional athletes or everybody,
And they look at me like I'm a nutcase, but the problem is that people just don't know anatomy very well, even professionals. So it's like talking to children who have an MD behind their name or whatever their favorite title is. But the reality of it is that anything that creates inflammation in an organ will reflexively shut down the muscles on the same neurological channels to protect the organ, to give it blood supply and to take compression off of it so that it continues to breathe and function. So anybody with parasite infections is highly susceptible to musculoskeletal injuries such as low back pain, neck pain, shoulder pain, and knee problems are the most common.
You basically described me, just that whole thing right there. You just basically described me as well as most of the women I work with.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, after you see the patterns, I spent years studying this stuff. I've worked with various experts on it and people that specialize in parasite problems. And the thing that cracks me up, too, is that having talked to many experts in parasitology, you know, people that practice killing parasites, and that's their kind of their hobby, as we'll say, you know, like someone specializes in low back pain or someone specializes in GI disorders. Most of the people that specialize in parasite problems repeatedly have parasite infections. So after a while, I just started to giggle at these people because they're all experts in which herbs will kill which bug and which drug will kill which bugs. But I walk in there and they're drinking a can of Coke and eating crap food, and their whole diet and lifestyle looks no different than anybody else out there. So what do we have? We just have the blind leading the blind, unfortunately.
The parasite paparazzis.
Yeah.
I know you got to go, Paul. So is it cool to ask one more question?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So what people, they get bogged down by the whole science behind stuff. So one of the things that I love about you when you give lectures and you talk about doing all this stuff is like the impetus behind why we do the things that we do is not because I'm not just doing this to kill the parasites. I'm doing this because of, and to balance my body. I'm doing this because I will feel XYZ. I will be able to do XYZ when I do this. And someone told me today the exact same thing. I'm like, you're up till 2 a.m. because these bugs might be keeping you up. My circadian rhythm changed when I got rid of them. I was tired at 10 instead of being tired at 2 a.m. and having my cortisol spike. So yeah. If they have something that they are shooting for, they say, if this flattens my belly, if I get my sex drive back, if I get a better partner. So what are the things that you've seen people gain by doing this type of protocol and by listening to your DVDs and educating themselves?
Well, they gain their sense of self back, but they won't do it until they have a dream bigger than their nightmare. For many people, these kinds of problems are all they have to do all day, and they've never really had anything worth becoming for. This is why all my programs start by establishing what it is that person wants to experience more than what they're experiencing right now. And I tell people, if you don't have a dream, then make your nightmare your dream, because your nightmare is typically the point at which you're under the greatest stress, and therefore addressing your nightmare is the most important parasite or antifungal approach. So if you're broke, you can do all the parasite protocols you want, but you'll spend more money and more money and get more and more broke, yet to the degree that being broke is the primary stressor that's triggering the chronic elevated cortisol levels, which shuts down the immune system and leads to blood sugar handling problems and the consumption of white sugar, which further shuts down the immune system, etc., you're never going to get anywhere. So going and getting a debt counselor or learning how to manage your spending or whatever it takes to alleviate that stress is the most essential approach to healing parasites, because the parasites really are a symptom of excess body-mind stress. And that's excluding invasive parasites. Like if you're in, you know, swimming in the Amazon and you get an invasive parasite, then you need to get to a doctor that knows how to kill that. A tapeworm I would consider to be invasive due to the fact that it can consume so much of your nutrition. It can make you malnourished and be very disruptive very quickly. Certainly all of them have their potential to be very, very disruptive. But it really boils down to, what is Mother Nature's rule? Mother Nature's rule is that you live a balanced lifestyle and you contribute to the evolution of species and the evolution of the planet. And if you have become too ignorant or too, shall we say, lost to
participate, then she sends her cops to give you a message. And that's what I call the pain teacher. And when the pain teacher shows up, you're not supposed to kill the teacher. You're not supposed to kill the messenger. If you pay attention, whenever you have any kind of illness, injury, disease, or infection, you're being given a grand opportunity to learn what it is that you were doing wrong in your own self-management that makes you a wiser person who's less likely to be unhealthy in the future and more likely to know how to manage themselves effectively in different environments. So for me, parasite infections are a gift for people because they're a knock on the door that says, wake up. You're not living in accordance with the principles that govern the human body. And if you don't get it right, you're going to get a disease. And if you don't get it right, you're going to die. And by the time a person gets a parasite infection of any significance, chances are good that the average person with a parasite infection is far enough down that road that they need to wise up right away, or they're going to probably spend their life savings in the hospital getting things stuffed in all their orifices and all sorts of drugs run through their vessels in attempt to treat a disease. But remember, healthy people don't have diseases because disease and health are like oil and water. They don't exist in the same place. So first and foremost, I never treat diseases that have people, but I do coach people that have acquired a disease due to a lack of knowledge on how to manage themselves.
That sounds like the dog whisperer, Cesar Millan. We train people, but I can't remember what his is, but it's very similar to that. So I know you got to go, Paul. You're amazing. I'm totally in love with what you're doing, with what you represent, the fact that you've got your four doctors that you'll ever need. That speech I watched you do a couple weeks ago, that was amazing. You're a genius. I want to be like you when I grow up. That's my dream. And my nightmare.
You're already better looking than me, so you're heading in the right direction.
That's because I gotten all this crap out of me thanks to your DVDs that led me down that path to getting me there. Last random question.
Yeah.
How big should parasites be in our body? Like, I heard you say one time a 10-footer came out of one of your clients. Are like 3-footers normal?
I have seen Ascaris worms. I had a woman come to me with a 16-inch Ascaris worm she pulled out of her vagina. She had two such occasions. And just to go back to that previous discussion, the progesterone, the Ascaris worm has an affinity for that hormone, and because women have more of it, they have a much higher incidence of Ascaris. Ascaris is the most successful human parasite, particularly worm parasite. And as I share in my program, it's unique because it actually cloaks itself by making its own tissues look like yours so your immune antibodies don't recognize it as an invasive organism. I forgot why I was telling you that, other than the fact that I wanted to let you know that was the connection between the Ascaris worm and the hormones.
Oh, I was just asking if 10-foot long or 4-foot long parasites or worms are even normal.
Right, yeah. So then I've had 3 patients with tapeworms. All of them have pooped out between 9 and 11 feet, but tapeworms can reach, if I remember right, as much as 30 feet long.
Crazy. Like, what other places in their body can they lodge themselves from top to bottom? It's so crazy because our small intestine's not even that long. That's crazy.
Yeah, but you remember these things are there. Imagine a piece of tape, like duct tape, 30 feet long. You can ravel that up into a small place and they can move around in there. If you look up the name Michael Mosley, he's a medical doctor that does a lot of documentaries. There's 2 documentaries you want to look at. One is called Guts, where he does an amazing job of showing the first video footage of the guts actually moving in a living person, which I like people to look at because they all forget that the organ system's not passive. It's highly active, and it's a muscular system. And then in a recent documentary I saw of his, he infected himself with a tapeworm, and they followed it on camera and watched it grow, and then he got it out of his body, and you see this great big huge thing and everything. So if people really want to have an up close and personal meeting with a tapeworm, research Michael Mosley, find his program. He's a British guy, so it'll probably be a BBC channel, and you'll get a great observation. Tapeworms are the biggest ones, but remember, just because a tapeworm's big doesn't mean that the other ones aren't big either. If you get 50 billion cryptosporidium in you, you've got a big organism. If you get billions of bacteria, you've got a big organism. So, you know, it's not so much the size of the individual organism, but remember those things work as a collective whole, just like all the grass in your front yard is one organism. All the hair on your head is part of one organism. So though the tapeworm may be the largest single parasite you'll pull out of you, if you were able to see the collection of any of these parasites all at once, it would look like you were wrapped in a blanket.
Ugh. It's so fun, yet so disgusting to talk about, but also it makes me feel more bonded to people like you because we've been through it. Now we can talk about it and just bring the truth out and get naked, like you said. We're just, here we are, raw, we're naked, this happened to me, we pooped out worms, it's crazy stuff! It's in all of us.
Hey, you know, it just teaches you that to be a healthy person means you must become a good gardener.
The biggest blessing ever to be a better gardener. The biggest blessing is that I got sick, and I know you said the same thing. So, Paul, thank you so much. I can't thank you a million times over for just being you and just showing up to your life and for all of us. You're a worm warrior for sure. I'm going to extend everything that you said about the discount, so that I also appreciate that for the warriors. And just keep on rocking. I hope to see you soon at another workshop that you do sometime in Southern California. But everybody loves you in FDN form. Wanted to say thank you for changing their lives too. So
thank you very much. And don't forget 20% discount. Give the code WellnessWarriorFP at the Czech Institute, CzechInstitute.com or 760-477-2620 or 1-800-552-8789. It's a long time since I said that number, but I'm pretty sure that's the right one.
That's not your social security number, I hope.
No. I probably don't even remember that.
Well, good luck to you with everything, Paul. Stay away from the oregano around your parts, and we'll chat at you soon. If there's anything I could ever do, let me know.
Yeah, no problem. And yeah, I wish I had time to tell you the oregano story, but the long and the short of it is never put oregano oil on your private parts unless you want to watch them peel off.
I'll put the link below so people can listen to you saying that on a different show.
All right.
Thanks so much, Paul. You're the best.
Yeah, let us know when it's up so I can inform people on my blog and help get you some awareness as well.
Absolutely. I really appreciate that.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.